Envision this. You're providing care to a 24-year-old artist that's been vaping tobacco since age 17. He grew up in a house where both his parents smoked cigarettes and was exposed to passive smoke on a regular basis. His father was recently diagnosed with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD. During his annual checkup, the patient tells you that he's thinking about quitting smoking because of his fears of long-term health consequences. But he expresses that it's been difficult because his close friends vape as a social activity. He asks for more information on the risks of smoking and how he can stop. What advice should you give your patient? Welcome to Audio Bricks. This is Ed Barnes breaking down tobacco smoking in your ears. After completing this brick, you will be able to 1. Describe tobacco smoking and vaping and their epidemiology. 2. Identify tobacco-related adverse health outcomes. 3. Explain the pathophysiology of tobacco smoking-related disease. 4. Describe how to screen patients for tobacco use and exposure. And 5. Outline the management options for smoking cessation, including pharmacological interventions and secondary prevention of smoking-related illness. Part 1. What are smoking and vaping? Tobacco smoking and vaping, collectively referred to as smoking for the rest of our discussion, are associated with serious health risks to multiple body systems, particularly lung and cardiovascular disease, as well as multiple forms of cancer. People who smoke tobacco have a threefold heightened mortality rate compared to those who have never smoked. As a result, it's critical for all healthcare professionals to discourage smoking and counsel and educate their patients on its many harmful effects and effective ways to quit. Smoking's social impact and high illness burden affect legislation, environmental policy, and health policy. Smoking tobacco dates back to Mayan and Aztec times, and it was introduced to Europe in the 16th century by Spanish conquerors. It is now a worldwide practice, largely due to the addictive effects of nicotine, a chemical compound inhaled in tobacco smoke. Unfortunately, cigarette tars and chemicals contain numerous carcinogenic compounds. Our discussion will focus more closely at smoking and its effects on human health. Smoking refers to inhaling the fumes from tobacco combustion or burning within a cigarette. The addictive effect comes from the nicotine inhaled during the process. The inhaled tars, carbon monoxide, and oxidizing gases cause most of its long-term health consequences. Nicotine also can be ingested orally, for example, chewing tobacco and nicotine gums used for smoking cessation, or inhaled by vaping, sometimes referred to as e-cigarettes, which involves heating, atomizing, and inhaling a nicotine-containing liquid. Vaping produces particulates, not a true vapor, so it's not well named. The vaping apparatus consists of a cartridge or reservoir or pod, which holds a liquid solution, also known as e-liquid or e-juice, containing varying amounts of nicotine, flavorings, and other chemicals. A heating element, also known as an atomizer, a power source, usually a battery, and finally a mouthpiece that the person uses to inhale. Because vaping smoke does not contain most of the traditional tobacco smoking's byproducts, it has become increasingly popular in the recent years, especially among young people who perceive it to be risk-free. But vaping is not harmless. While long-term survival statistics are not yet available, vaping can cause nicotine poisoning, especially in children. In addition, there have been numerous reports of death as a result of acute lung injury termed vaping-associated pulmonary injury, or VAPI. This type of lung injury includes eosinophilic pneumonia as well as lipid pneumonia with lipid-laden macrophages, with rapid progression to acute respiratory distress syndrome, also known as ARDS, and can progress to death. These deaths primarily occur in young people and in those who also use tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, electronic products. Inhaling propylene glycol, vitamin E acetate, and other chemicals in the vaping fluid may also have adverse effects. Let's stop for a quiz. What is the difference between vaping and tobacco smoking? Tobacco smoking entails inhaling nicotine smoke from a burning cigarette, while vaping involves inhaling nicotine vapor from an e-cigarette that evaporates nicotine-containing liquid. Let's move on to discuss epidemiology. Approximately 30 million people in the United States smoke, 9 to 10% of the population, and about half of them have a smoking-related disease. This number has declined from 20% since 2005, largely due to anti-smoking campaigns. Worldwide, there's an estimated 1.2 billion smokers, 20% of the population. Smoking rates are highest in males, young adults, those with lower education status, those with a partner or other household member who smokes, and coexisting mental health disorders like depression. Vaping is common in the young, with a 2022 study showing that 14% of U.S. high school students ages 15 to 18 and 3% of middle school students aged 12 to 15 vape, totaling more than 2.5 million young users. Part 2. What are common health effects of smoking? Adverse effects of smoking can be acute or chronic and are related to the many chemicals in cigarette smoke, as well as the nicotine stimulants and addictive effects. Tobacco use has a potential to harm multiple organ systems. Many substances in inhaled cigarette smoke are lung irritants, so smoking can exacerbate pre-existing lung diseases like asthma or COPD. This causes increased coughing and wheezing. Nicotine's acute effects include sympathetic stimulation, leading to tachycardia, increased blood pressure, and vasoconstriction. These effects can aggravate symptoms of ischemic cardiac disease causing chest pain or peripheral artery disease causing leg pain. Nicotine poisoning in children, increasingly common with vaping, can cause vomiting, nausea, tachycardia, or rarely seizures, coma, and cardiac arrest. Let's transition to the chronic adverse effects of smoking tobacco. Chronic tobacco use results in pulmonary, cardiovascular, and oncologic or cancer-related diseases. Chronic pulmonary diseases is strongly connected to smoking, particularly COPD, which is characterized by progressive cough, wheezing, dyspnea, and hypoxia. COPD encompasses emphysema, which is a breakdown of alveoli and lung destruction, and bronchitis, which is airway inflammation with chronic productive cough. Smoking is associated with most forms of lung cancer, causing 70% of cases. Those who smoke have a 10 to 30-fold higher lung cancer risk than non-smokers. In the United States, smoking cessation has reduced lung cancer mortality by nearly 80% over the past 50 years, making it one of the most successful medical advances in modern history. Other smoking-related pulmonary diseases include infections like pneumonia, tuberculosis, or influenza, and also idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. It is also linked to several uncommon interstitial lung diseases, including desquamative interstitial pneumonia, or DIP, respiratory bronchiolitis, interstitial lung disease, and pulmonary Langerhans cell histiocytosis. Smoking is also a major and modifiable risk factor for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease, including coronary artery disease, like myocardial infarction or angina, also heart failure, stroke, and peripheral artery disease. Passive or secondhand smoking is also correlated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. Smoking cessation significantly reduces the risk of coronary atherosclerosis and myocardial infarction. Smoking also increases the risk of thromboembolic disease such as deep vein thrombosis or DVT and pulmonary embolus or PE. Thromboangitis obliterans, also known as Berger disease, is a small and medium vessel inflammation that is seen largely in people who smoke tobacco. It causes thrombosis of small blood vessels accompanied by acute pain in the fingers and toes. This disease affects young men under the age of 40 years who are heavy smokers, but its mechanism is unknown. Those who smoke tobacco have a 20-fold increased risk of developing other cancers when compared to those who are non-smokers. The products within tobacco smoke include gene mutations that cause unregulated cell growth, or neoplasia. Besides lung cancer, smoking has been linked to a variety of other cancers. The gastrointestinal, or GI tract, including the oropharynx, esophagus, stomach, pancreas, colon, and liver, also can become cancerous. The genitourinary tract, including kidney, like in renal cell carcinoma, and bladder, urothelial cell carcinoma. The larynx, the lips, and also the leukemias and lymphomas. The non-smoking connected exceptions include cancers of the brain and reproductive tract. Stopping smoking after the diagnosis of these cancers increases survival rates in many of these cases. Tobacco smoking also affects the body's organs in other ways that are not cancer-related. Gastrointestinal diseases like gum disease or periodontal disease, peptic ulcers, and pancreatitis are widely found among smokers. Renal, increased risk of developing chronic kidney disease and accelerating the progression of pre-existing chronic kidney disease. Reproductive, increased pregnancy complications and erectile dysfunction. It increases the risk of male and female infertility. Skeletal, increased bone demineralization, leading to increased risk of osteoporosis and hip fractures. Ocular, cataracts, glaucoma, and age-related macular degeneration. Endocrine, increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes, likely due to decreasing insulin sensitivity. And psychiatric, patients with mental health disorders smoke more and often develop nicotine addiction. Smoking may aggravate some disorders, particularly psychotic disorders, for example, schizophrenia. Nicotine alters the release of many neurotransmitters, and there are many common genetic links between schizophrenia and smoking. Let's pause for a quiz. Which cancers are strongly associated with tobacco smoking? Examples of cancers strongly associated with tobacco smoking include cancer of the lung, gastrointestinal tract, larynx, lip, bladder, kidney, leukemias, and lymphoma. Part 3. What is the pathophysiology of tobacco smoking-related disorders? We can differentiate the adverse effects of tobacco smoke into those caused by nicotine and those caused by other inhaled toxins. So, what are the effects of nicotine? Nicotine is a natural alkaloid derived from the nightshade plant family that has behavioral and physiologic effects on humans. Its strong behavioral effects are generally experienced as pleasurable by most people. This is a big reason why smoking cessation is often extremely hard for long-time smokers. Nicotine is classified as a highly addictive substance. Addiction is characterized by a chronic compulsive need for increasingly more of the substance. Chronic use also causes physiologic dependence, with withdrawal symptoms such as craving, insomnia, anxiety, depression, and hunger. Chronic nicotine ingestion also induces tolerance, since increasing smoking is needed to achieve the pleasurable effects and prevent withdrawal symptoms. Nicotine has several physiologic effects, mostly related to its binding to the nicotinic acetylcholine receptors, or the NACHRS. These receptors are normally activated by binding to the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, but nicotine stimulates them as well. Consequently, nicotine is a sympathomimetic substance, stimulating the sympathetic nervous system, leading to tachycardia and increased blood pressure. Nicotine suppresses appetite, leading some patients to continue smoking to prevent weight gain. Nicotine also induces endothelial cell injury, tissue hypoxemia, and increased platelet activity. Nicotine exerts multiple effects in the brain. These effects include 1. Direct stimulation of the brain's reward center, which is part of the basal ganglia in the forebrain and midbrain, reaching from the ventral tegmental area of the midbrain to the nucleus accumbens. There, dopamine release stimulates the pleasure and impulse control centers in the prefrontal cortex, which are responsible for nicotine's addictive effects. 2, stimulation of serotonergic release throughout the brain implicated in addiction. 3, inhibition of the enzyme monoamine oxidase, which raises levels of brain neurotransmitters like norepinephrine, serotonin, and dopamine. And 4, elevated brain levels of endorphins and corticosteroids. Stimulation of the hypothalamic pituitary pathway increases pituitary adrenocorticotropic hormone, or ACTH, release, leading to adrenal gland cortisol secretion. The increased cortisol boosts alertness in users. Here's another quick quiz. Which neurotransmitters are increased during nicotine use? Serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins are elevated when nicotine is used. Let's move on to discuss the effects of other tobacco smoke toxins. Aside from nicotine, tobacco smoke contains more than 7,000 different chemicals, of which at least 250 have been confirmed to be harmful. These include hydrocarbons, radioactive components, and metals. More than 60 are known to be carcinogenic. Some of these, and where to find them, apart from cigarette smoke, are toluene, which is found in solvents, acetic acid, also found in vinegar, methanol, which is also found in solvents, acetone, also found in paint stripper and nail varnish, cadmium is found in batteries, carbon monoxide is carbon monoxide, arsenic is poison, benzene is found in petrol fumes, ammonia is also in toilet cleaners, stearic acid is in candle wax, hexamine is also found in barbecue lighters, and butane is found in lighter fluid. How do these toxins cause smoking-related disease? The effects are complex, but a few that are understood include: smoking enhances the formation of atherosclerotic plaques in blood vessels, the main mechanism for the development of coronary and peripheral artery disease. Smoking directly induces endothelial cell damage, necrosis, and apoptosis, in part by generation of reactive oxygen species. Smoking also increases platelet aggregation and damages blood vessel walls, increasing the likelihood of clots forming in blood vessels. This decreases blood flow to the tissues, amplifying the effects of atherosclerosis. The carbon monoxide in cigarette smoke impairs both oxygen binding to RBCs and the release of the bound oxygen to tissues. This can be a problem in patients who have ongoing atherosclerosis caused by smoking, which reduces blood flow to tissues. In smokers, we find that inflammation increases throughout the body, measured by increased levels of C-reactive protein, or CRP. The multiple mechanisms include activation of oxidation-sensitive cellular signaling pathways, increased cytokine release like IL-8 or TNF-alpha, activation of inflammatory genes, peroxidation of lipids, and recruitment of inflammatory cells from the microcirculation of the lungs. While there is an increased immune activity and inflammation, smoking also impairs innate defense mechanisms. These effects increase the risk, severity, and duration of infections. These effects include impaired ability of macrophages and natural killer cells to destroy bacteria and viruses, and impaired mucosal defenses, which can lead to bacterial colonization of the respiratory tract. Mucus secreted by goblet cells and submucosal mucocerous glands and containing trapped foreign particles is normally transported by the cilia toward the laryngeal pharynx, also known as the mucociliary escalator, for either expectoration or swallowing. In COPD patients, smoking paralyzes the cilia and compromises this important defense mechanism. And finally, as we discussed earlier, cigarette smoke toxins are strongly implied in the development of many cancers. The mechanisms include mutations in tumor suppression genes, for example, P53, and oncogenes like RAS. Benzopyrene, a constituent of cigarette smoke, forms metabolites that intercalate into DNA, interfering with normal gene transcription. Part 4. How do we diagnose patients who may develop smoking-related lung injury? Given the long list of smoking consequences, diagnostic and treatment strategies should focus on prevention and smoking cessation. Studies have shown that only 42% of myocardial infarction smokers received smoking cessation interventions at hospital discharge, and only 21% of smokers received counseling at a clinic visit. Thus, we do not want to wait until disease symptoms develop. This need has led to emphasis on the history and screening strategies. The first step is to obtain a good history from all your patients inquiring about current and past smoking habits at every clinic visit. Routinely asking about tobacco use has been shown to increase smoking cessation rates. Also ask about use of other tobacco and nicotine products such as vaping, cigars, pipes, chewing tobacco, and water pipes, since many tobacco users use a variety of tobacco products. Ask about smoking frequency, products used, degree of dependence, when and how successfully they've tried to quit, and which strategies they used, for example, use of nicotine gum. Those who do not use tobacco products should be questioned about secondhand or passive smoke exposure. Like in the home, car, or workplace, such exposure can increase non-smokers' health risks, for example, coronary heart disease and lung cancer. Now, what screening tests should be used for patients who smoke? Some patients who have smoked for a long time benefit from secondary prevention screening tests, which are performed even before symptoms arise. Such tests include annual helical CT scan of the lungs. This test is now recommended for those 50 to 80 years old who are either current smokers who have quit within the last 15 years and have had at least 20 pack year smoking history. This has been found to lessen the risk of lung cancer. Note that screening chest x-rays are not sensitive or specific enough to be used for routine prevention. Screening spirometry, for example, like FEV1 over FVCs, this screening is performed on any smoking patient with respiratory symptoms and is recommended by some physicians for heavy smokers regardless of symptoms to detect early cases of COPD prior to the onset of symptoms and guide management. Let's stop for a quiz. Which medical tests are indicated for heavy smokers regardless of symptoms? Lung CT scans are recommended for current, recent smokers with at least 20 pack years of smoking who are 50 to 80 years old. Part 5. How do we help patients stop smoking and prevent smoking-related illnesses? The only truly effective method to prevent smoking-related illness is abstinence from smoking. Importantly, no amount of smoking is safe. So while smoking reduction is a step in the right direction, complete smoking cessation will yield the most health benefits. Quitting smoking will lower and eventually eliminate the increased risk for smoking-associated illnesses. It also can improve the course of existing smoking-related illnesses such as lung cancer and COPD. For example, smoking cessation improves cancer survival rates. Initial counseling for tobacco cessation should follow the 5 A's approach: ask, advise, assess, assist, and arrange, as recommended by the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. This strategy helps patients to stop smoking by using motivational interviewing principles. 1. Ask. Identify and document tobacco use status for every patient at every visit. 2. Advise. In a clear, strong, and personalized way, urge every tobacco user to quit. 3. Assess. Is a tobacco user willing to make a quit attempt at this time? 4. Assist. For the patient willing to make a quit attempt, use counseling and pharmacotherapy to help them quit. And 5. Arrange. Follow up with the patient in person or by telephone, ideally within the first week after the patient quits. Patients also should be counseled about how their habit may affect their family and others via secondhand smoke. Exposure to secondhand smoke increases non-smokers' risk of lung cancer and ischemic heart disease. This is why most U.S. regulations now prohibit indoor smoking in public and large private buildings, for example, apartments and theaters, as well as on all forms of public transportation. Some states also ban smoking in cars with minors present. How do we manage nicotine withdrawal? In patients who choose to quit smoking, the risk of recurrence is very high due to the nicotine withdrawal symptoms such as decreased concentration, insomnia, mood disturbances, and weight gain from increased appetite. So, to maintain smoking cessation, discuss treatment options that can attenuate withdrawal symptoms. Non-drug strategies initially can include support groups and counseling, as well as advising the patient to occupy their hands and mouth with harmless cigarette substitutes such as sugarless gum, hard candy, straws, cinnamon sticks, or carrot sticks. Some patients may need pharmacologic help for withdrawal, such as nicotine replacement therapies like nicotine patches, nasal spray, lozenges, inhalers, and gum, or non-nicotine medications such as varenicline, a partial nicotinic receptor agonist, and bupropion that inhibits serotonin uptake. With non-nicotine therapies, patients may be completely weaned off nicotine over time. Note that while switching to vaping may be appealing to some, especially the young patients, it's not recommended as part of the strategy. Let's finish up with one last quiz. Which medications are useful in attenuating nicotine withdrawal symptoms? To help with nicotine withdrawal symptoms, agents that do not contain nicotine may be used, such as bupropion and varenicline. And that brings us to the end of our discussion on tobacco smoking. Now, let's recap to see if we've completed our goals. First, are you able to cite the number of people in the United States that smoke? Approximately 30 million people in the United States smoke. That's 9 to 10% of the population, and about half of them have a smoking-related disease. This number has declined from 20% since 2005, largely due to anti-smoking campaigns. Next, can you name at least three tobacco-related adverse health outcomes? COPD, lung cancer, atherosclerotic heart disease, non-pulmonary-related cancers, vascular thrombosis, and the effects on multiple other organs are all related to adverse health outcomes from smoking. Next, can you name four of the physiologic effects of nicotine? Nicotine has several physiologic effects, most are related to its binding to the nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. These receptors are normally activated by binding to the neurotransmitter acetylcholine, but nicotine stimulates them as well. One, nicotine is a sympathomimetic substance stimulating the sympathetic nervous system, leading to tachycardia and increased blood pressure. Two, nicotine suppresses appetite, leading some patients to continue smoking to prevent weight gain. Three, nicotine also induces endothelial cell injury and tissue hypoxemia. And four, nicotine also leads to increased platelet activity. Next, what screening tests should be ordered when caring for a patient that uses tobacco? An annual helical CT scan of the lungs is now recommended for those 50 to 80 years old who are either current or have quit within the last 15 years and have at least a 20-pack year history of smoking. This has been found to lessen the risk of lung cancer. Note that screening chest x-rays are not sensitive or specific enough to be used for routine prevention. And also, a screening spirometry, for example, like FEV1 over FVC, is performed on any smoking patient with respiratory symptoms and is recommended by some physicians for heavy smokers regardless of symptoms to detect early cases of COPD prior to the onset of their symptoms and to guide management. And finally, can you name the five A's as it relates to smoking cessation as recommended by the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research? The five A's are ask, advise, assess, assist, and arrange. And that's it. Armed with your newfound knowledge on tobacco smoking, let's get back to the patient from the beginning of this episode. You are providing counseling to a 24-year-old patient that has been vaping tobacco for the past 7 years. He has family members with COPD and is interested in quitting, but is concerned about his social connections because several of them also vape. He asks for more information on the risks of smoking and how he can stop. You talk to your patient about how tobacco smoke affects the body as well as the known risks of vaping. You also talk to him about how to stop smoking and offer him resources to aid in his journey to stop. For your patient who has smoked for several years, the first step to quitting might be to use nicotine patches or gums, and the next step might be total weaning of nicotine. He should continue to receive counseling to help him in his smoking cessation journey. And that's it for our show. Make sure to like and subscribe if you like what you hear, and remember, your feedback helps us improve. You can enjoy the full BRIC experience online at www.usmle-rx.com, complete with illustrations, questions, flashcards, and active learning. So go check that out if you haven't already. Until next time.